car, we did a car manual, and it tells us how, the manufacturer tells us how to make it work. But if a manufacturer made a product that nobody knew how to make it work, that wouldn't be so great. Nobody would want to buy that. But God gave us the marriage instruction manual. He gave us the answers to every marriage question and every marriage issue. And everything we need to know to make our marriage work is in the Bible. Pretty simple. Life's instruction manual. Marriage instruction manual. Now we're going to make a bold statement right here. One of the main reasons we see so many marriages failing today is the divorce rate is so high is because people are failing to allow God to get involved in their marriage. He did not create marriage to be independent of Him. People are not taking God and His principles, that the principles that are in His Word, and applying them to their marriage, and that is why we see so many divorces inside the church as well as outside the church. And it's at alarming rates. I think the inside the church versus outside is almost the same marriage rate, which is about 50% or more. But if we take these truths tonight and these instructions and we apply them on a continual basis to our marriages and to our lives, they will work. And we can say that without exception. God's word works. That's what Dino and I found. When we started applying these God's word to our marriage, that's where we saw transformation take place. That's where we saw unity come in. That's where we saw healing restoration come in. That's where we started seeing peaceful, joy-filled days in our home. So there's no marriage that's too good that can't get better, and there's no marriage that's too bad that's beyond hope. So in our first United Marriage Gathering tonight, we wanted to answer a couple of fundamental questions. What was one of the primary reasons God created marriage? There's a lot of different opinions out there. What was His mindset, and what did He want to accomplish through this union? Now, sometimes when we're learning about what something is, it's good to look at what something is not. So before we share one of the primary purposes for marriage, we wanted to look at what the purpose is of not, what it is not. So you see, each of us have a lot of assumptions that we have based our lives on, but we have to ask ourselves, can it really be traced back to the Word of God? You know, there's a lot of mindsets that we have. We've allowed ourselves to be influenced by the secular world, by TV shows, by radio shows, by romance novels, and even examples of other marriages that we've been around. And there's been, even some of us have maybe not been raised in a Christian home, or maybe we have been raised in a Christian home, and yet, in my case, I saw my parents' marriage fail. So now we're like, well, how do we make our marriage survive? How do we make it work when we have all these people around us saying, it doesn't work, and marriages are failing? There are all kinds of value systems that we've taken on throughout our lives, and even as children, that we've been maybe taken for granted. So we need to challenge our beliefs. And we're not here saying that every one of them is wrong, but we're also comparing them against Scripture. That's where, like, is this one am I believing about my marriage right? Comparing it to the Scripture. So some of the assumptions people have made in marriage is, number one, marriage is to make us happy. Now, how many know in the first maybe hour, 2 hours, maybe a day, maybe a week after we got married, there was something that didn't make us happy? Happiness is based on happenings, and I can say it could have been your honeymoon that something didn't make you happy in your marriage. The second one is marriage is to give us contentment. Marriage is to give us companionship. Marriage is to take away loneliness. Well, we've had some friends that live separate lives and they're not married, but they're very, very lonely. So those are the four things we want to say that marriage, the purpose of marriage, is not.
Right, and so let's take a look at some of these perceptions, these mindsets that we've had, and compare them against Scripture. So take a look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39 and 40. It says, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she's at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Now here's the part I want you to see. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is if that person has that calling, and if God has graced them to remain single, that they're going to be happier. Now, this is a pretty radical statement, I think, and probably most of us have overlooked this verse in the Bible, because I know for years we went along thinking that, okay, marriage is meant to make me happy. But here, Paul is saying that someone can stay single and be happy. Okay, so marriage is not supposed to be that source of our happiness. This is so important to understand. This is critical. Because if you come into a marriage with the wrong expectations, and then your marriage, the first time your marriage doesn't meet that expectation, you're going to be frustrated, right? And think about Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes a heart sick, right? So you have your heart set, and I'm sorry, that you have your heart set on marriage making you happy, and then the moment that it doesn't make you happy, you get a heavy heart, and then comes bitterness, right? And there's these wrong expectations, and you can feel trapped, and you can feel confined, and maybe you start blaming your spouse, and you say you're the reason that I'm not happy, and people will even question God, Lord, why did you give me this person, right? But God didn't intend marriage to be the source of your happiness, okay? He didn't intend that to be the source of your joy and your fulfillment. Each of us needs to draw from the Lord for those things, right? And then when we receive God's love, then we can give that away to our spouse. And you see this happening in relationships all over the world. Rather than drawing on Jesus for our fulfillment and for our love, people are demanding that from their spouse, and then when their spouse just can't live up to those expectations that only God can live up to, that's when the nitpicking starts, and that's when the fault finding starts, and then the blaming starts. Okay, but God never intended it to be that way. And the only thing that produces true fulfillment, okay, is a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't want anyone to mistake what we're saying here, okay? Marriage can supplement that relationship. You can still experience joy in your marriage. You can still experience happiness in your marriage. We're not getting down on marriage, okay? But marriage can supplement that relationship with Jesus, but it was never intended to be a substitute for it.